Gudu.
It's me. It's been me all along. It's time you all knew that I did, in fact, tap the button.
Yep.
And I pressed it. And I do it again if it wasn't already saying that the recording has started.
Right. You don't want to unstart the recording.
Not yet. I will in about 2 hours or so.
Yeah. Yeah. That's how it works.
Anyway, hello. Welcome to Cause and Effect. This is the Dungeons and Dragons campaign. Tonight I am joined by a bunch of awesome people, including Beth, Ellie, and Eo. I am your DM for the evening. My name is Crash. And what happened last time?
Oh, we went to find a black dragon, and then...
Oh, right.
It was already killed, and we convinced some protogers to go home.
After they hit you really hard.
Yeah.
They did do that. My front did not fall off, but
they did hit me pretty hard.
Yes.
And fair, then we also hit them very hard.
That's true.
One of them was already hit pretty hard. And
I think the reason they left was in part because it was apparent that the one that was already hit pretty hard was possibly going to die.
He was bloodied before combat started. And while they were both kobold brains inside protojuror bodies, it was Zed and X. Zed was the former clan leader of the Lost Eye clan, which is the clan that A is from. And while Zed was not too concerned about X surviving this, Zed didn't have a lot to gain from it specifically because Zed already had the MacGuffin and a handful of diamonds. But, you know, when you see a pile of diamonds, you're going to take a handful.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's like when you see that macaroni in the lobby area of the Olive Garden. It's there for you to snack on. So you take some and just snack on it while you're waiting.
What?
That's what?
I am referencing a My Brother and Me live show.
Oh.
Where one of the brothers, in that specific moment, learned that his older brothers had pranked him when he was a child. And he only then realized it in front of a live audience. A very large live audience.
That macaroni isn't actually...
That the raw macaroni inside the lobby of an Olive Garden is there for show and show alone.
I've never seen raw... I never seen it in there.
Apparently. In any case, all of this is besides the point. The point is, you got your diamonds. You took a beating for it, but you got your diamonds. In the debriefing, it is discussed how the spray bottles are actually quite effective, but you should probably use them on a protojuror that has taken damage, because if they are pristine, then they're waterproof. If they have taken large amounts of damage, then they are not waterproof anymore, probably. If they've taken lots of damage because you poured hot wax on them, they still might be waterproof.
We need to get past the armor.
Yes, once you get past the outer armor, then there's a chance that the anti-nanite spray you have might be quite effective. As it is, they were put in a dishwasher with a whole bunch of Ziploc baggies. And the heat dry cycle was turned on, so they have been laminated. And we definitely did not take a break. There was no pause. I'm going to edit all this out later, except for the part where I deny that anything was edited out. Things go on as they tend to do after you've finished a mission, except you start to get more and more thank you notes sent to you from a certain mountain village.
Aww.
Yes. Some of them are definitely handwritten by small children who had crayons.
Aww.
Yes. But after a few days, you do get asked to come visit Bindle Brightlight over at the Augmanite Enclave.
I'm going to take a long rest before I do that.
Yeah, it's been several days. You may all take long rests. In fact, please do.
I was just noticing my hit
Looking
points
at
looked
you,
a little
Tex,
.
Regaining 85 hit points when you hit long rest. And so many spell slots for Cavill. All right. So I'm assuming that you end up going to see Bindle.
Well, yeah. Mm. Hobby will.
Her office door has a sign outside that says, not nightlight. And Ellie has found a GIF that is... GIF is unrelated, but that poor cat, it tried so hard.
There was too much snow and ice.
And got so far, and then it not like this.
There was too slippery. Poor thing. Okay.
Okay. Anyway, distractions aside, I love that Ellie found that. So this is actually not a room that you've been to that often. You've been in various research rooms with Bindle taking care of things, but this is her office, which is small and cramped, even for a gnome's office space. You presume that there is a desk there. The papers are stacked in haphazard way around a space that looks like you wouldn't have to dig too far down to get to the surface of a desk. There are various inkwells about, and you sort of get the sense that as an inkwell gets buried underneath additional papers, another inkwell is procured and placed in a different spot before it too is buried under other papers.
Have you considered, a larger office, or B, different gravitational fields so you can stack things on the walls and ceiling?
Well, A, what? No, that's, I was responding to, never mind.
Other A, sorry.
There's another A? You've been seeing another A?
Well, a metaphorical A. A metaphorical A, and I think you know that now. I think you know that. I think you are doing that deliberately.
A grins an alligator smile, because that's the only way A can smile. A is a cool word. So, to respond to the first point, this is actually a fairly large office so far as offices go. Most space is designated for research and meeting capabilities, not so much, you know, storage of paperwork. There were some researchers who attempted to make their offices bigger on the inside. Most of them were recovered from the astral plane.
Right. So what about the gravitational fields?
Well, with the various bits of research that happen in the Enclave, there tend to be fluctuations in any alternate gravitational forces that get applied. So it could potentially rain paperwork if I attempted to alter the paperwork. Or, alternatively, all the paperwork might be shifted to the eastern wall. Briefly.
And shelves. Right now,
I have plenty of shelves. Look at all the shelves I have. Roll a perception check.
Okay.
With a 31. And an 18. Cavil, you see no shelves. You assume that what Bindle Brightlight insists are shelves are in fact shelves made from stacking papers to be shelf shaped. Mm-hmm. With a 20, Tex can sort of maybe see some outlines of shelves on the walls. Hobby, you're like, yeah, oh yeah, there's a shelf and there's a shelf and there's a shelf. And actually that shelf, is that a load bearing shelf? If you moved this shelf, would the wall come down?
I mean, the real problem is if you move what's on top of the shelf, will the wall come down?
And to bring up a point that you did not bring up, right now, I know where everything is.
Mm.
For example, I know where our guest is. And Bindle turns and points towards... There's no one there. One second. Bindle goes over to a pile of papers and gets a shovel and starts digging. And just as you're thinking, maybe I should do something to help, it's not that many shovel scoops, you see a mechanical arm rising up from underneath a pile of papers that had apparently collapsed when Bindle wasn't looking.
Was that comfy under the papers? It seems like it might be comfy. I could see being curled up under the papers and no one seeing me. That would be nice. Cavil, you need more papers.
Technically, I have an infinite number of papers, but not ones I can sleep under.
There's apparently
then I wouldn't be able to find them.
There's apparently a warforge trying to escape the paper collapse.
Hobby will go help.
Oh no.
Actually, Hobby being Hobby, I think Hobby's idea of what would help would be to climb the wall with claws or jump up and cling to the ceiling and let Tex get in to haul out the other warforged.
I love that this is going this way because it gives me way more time for what I have prepped. So I'm going to ask you to give me an acrobatics check. I will not require Tex to make a roll if Tex is choosing to help the buried warforged, because this is Tex we're talking about. This is going to be easy.
Hobby is going to fall down onto a very big pile of papers and go eep.
Well, obviously. Yes, that does happen because Hobby rolled a nat 1, and I love that it still turns into an 11. But
yeah,
it was still a nat 1. So you go to climb a wall. The problem is you thought it was a wall.
It's more papers. Eep! Now I'm under the papers. Apparently,
the shelves that you identified were there because planks of wood were placed on top of piles of paper. You thought they were nailed to a wall and paper was put underneath. You were wrong. You are now on top of a pile of papers, but also under a different pile of papers and three shelves. And for the record, you were right. It is quite comfy. You are in a box that conforms to your shape, as opposed to you needing to become liquid and conform to the box.
Hobby is just going to stay under here until she needs to get out again.
You do the little curl thing, and Hobby's tail is visible briefly, and then we just see the tail go schlorp into the pile, because you do a little half turn around.
Yep.
And we hear a purring sound coming from under the papers. The buried warforged is the first reaction would be that this is JR. But you've met this warforged before. They only look like JR because they were modeled after JR's plans while not being a copy of JR. They are, in fact, PT, which is short for prototype, as named by, I believe, a kobold.
Indeed.
A long, long time ago, on a forge world
in a galaxy far away.
In a different campaign thread.
In a different campaign altogether, yes. But this character has transversed campaigns already. Thank you. I was under there for 20 minutes. Oh, sorry. I got distracted. Yes, I am aware. Also, you talk to yourself when making calculations. Oh, well. Anyway. Hello, everyone. This is PT. PT, everyone. We've met. Oh, that's right. You told me. Well, PT came to me a little while ago, and should we do something about your friend?
No, they'll be fine.
A dark space lifts up from under the pile of papers, and we just see two glowing eyes.
Bing, bing, bing.
And a Cheshire grin. Then it lowers back down again. We'll just assume this continuing to happen throughout this entire conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so PT came to me with some new information, which was quite timely, I'm told, but didn't have the means to act on it. How would you describe it? They took a beating. Yes, that. Yes, well, remember, Cogbucket Sr. is technically my grandfather, so we have stayed in communication, and after your most recent adventure, you did come back rather battered.
There's only ribs.
Yes, but you ended up with more of them than you should have because they were broken in half.
Yeah, well.
Well, you may recall.
To be fair, the anime did leave before I could get off a proper heel. See?
There is that. However, knowledge of this event did provide something fortuitous. You may recall, I am also from the future, a future adjacent to your future, one that you created, sort of, but we don't want that one to exist either because yada, yada, yada. For more information about this, everyone should go back and listen to one of the episodes in the 30s. The GM can't remember right now. Most of the data stored in my crystalline brain is locked away. And some of the stuff that isn't locked away, I have hardwired parameters preventing me from telling individuals who are outside of need to know, because while it's true that we don't want my timeline that I'm from to end up being the one that exists either, it's best not to muck things up too much in the wrong direction.
It could get even worse. Great.
Yes, yes, it could. But some of the data has if-then statements. If this thing happens, then you get to share this thing. Some of it's random, it seems. Some of it is just on a timer. After you've reached this calendar date, well, this part here is no longer relevant, and you can share it as much as you want. Learning that you were struggling with proto-jurors unlocked some schematics.
And interesting.
Bindle opens a drawer on her desk, and yes, that was a desk. Sending another pile of papers falling, and pulls out three stacks of papers, and then reaches in and pulls out a handful of rings that appear to be made out of adamantine. So
I'm kind of tempted to cast telekinesis just to keep the papers from falling everywhere. But that would not be a good use of magic.
I still know where everything is. I knew where these were. I knew where to shovel for PT. You also forgot I was under there for 20 minutes. You're not proving me wrong. I knew where to shovel you out once. Anyway, these rings are, well, they're called inertial dampers. And they're neato. They're also untested prototypes. They were not used in the future, even though future JR did have the prototypes made, but it was deemed not cost efficient to mass produce them. It was much easier to just make more jurors, and if they got smashed, they got smashed. You could always make more. The rings were far more costly because the means of mass producing them weren't set up yet, but jurors were already a known thing. The too long didn't read version is you take less damage when you're wearing one. The slightly longer
version.
All kinds of damage. It will reduce damage by half and even make you harder to hit in the spur of a moment. Game terms, you can use it to cast shield 3 times a day. But when you cast shield, in addition to increasing your AC by 5, any damage you take until the start of your next turn is reduced by half.
Useful.
There are, however, complications. Every now and then, there is a chance for a glitch to occur. These are not, should not be automatically fatal, but they're not guaranteed to be convenient. And you all want the rings anyway, don't you?
Hmm. How long does it only last to...
Well,
we all came here in a desperate last-ditch attempt to save the future.
Uh-huh.
I don't think we're disinclined to take the risk when the alternative could be so much worse.
Squishy.
Right. So, these will take some getting used to. Fortunately, we have a testing facility that is off-site in case of incidents that we'd like you to go to try the rings out, if you're willing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, here's the directions, and Bindle pulls out a map and hands it to whichever of you is closest. It'd be funnier if the closest person actually is Hobby. So Bindle holds a piece of paper out to the pile of papers that seems to be still purring.
An arm extends from them and Hobby will take the pile, the papers being held out, and tuck them securely into her vest pocket.
Give me a sleight of hand check. With a 28, you do not accidentally take a research paper on the defensive properties of cheese and put that in your pocket instead. By the way, there are many benefits to using cheese inside and outside of combat situations. They're not all Gouda. And some of the strategies are full of holes. However,
there's always a chance of a critical Swiss.
That is true. So you have a map to a location that is actually outside of the city of Flotsam. It's quite a distance away in a space where it kind of looks like it's a crater, but it's kind of big to be a crater. I mean, the explosion that would have had to these are Ogmanites. Yeah, there's a possibility. Turns out that because of the stuff that the Ogmanites do, they spend so much money, they have to be making money somehow. And some of the money that they make is from doing research and development for things that might have military capabilities. Some of those go boom. Some of them are supposed to go boom. Some of them were not supposed to go boom.
But Ogmanites.
That one was definitely not supposed to just turn you green for a week. It was not easy. But basically it is... Well, I'm going to just take you there. How about that? I'm going to activate a map.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yes.
Maptivation.
Yes. So it is basically an arena space. There is a bunker location that is over to the side for prep work. But when you're ready, you stand in a circle and it teleports you into a spot in the arena where... it is covered with a sand, but there are grooves in the sand where it's clear that there's some type of pathing system. And there are 6 suits of armor that are standing facing various directions, each of them on their own track.
Huh.
And Bindle is coming in over a loudspeaker from a more secured location than what you're dealing with right now. Because if there's going to be a crater, Bindle intends to not be part of the environment. Right. So, no surprises here. The animated suits of armor are going to just keep moving in somewhat predictable patterns. But as they move, they do some type of an attack. And basically, you can fight back at them if you want. They're repairable. They're replaceable. We've got those mechanisms in place. But... this is just to see how well the rings work and see how you react to them. And if they have any bad interactions with other things you've got.
Interesting. Well then, should we be using our other skills as well or just practicing with the rings alone?
Knock yourselves out. Well, not literally, because then you won't be able to activate the rings. Yes, you all have the rings in your inventory. I did that earlier, which was made evident when you were pressing long rest and it was making sure that you had 3 charges for your adamantine inertial damper.
There it is. Equip.
Yep.
Hobby equips a ring.
Yep.
So and what they don't even require attunement. That's good.
Yes. It should be perfectly fine.
Hmm.
I have moved you over onto the map and... now you're all facing up, and I am also going to add you all to the initiative. I rolled for the combat dummies. Yes, that is what I'm calling the animated suits of armor, because that's effectively what they are earlier. Uh-huh. And I don't know how initiative is working with this, but it does say that Tex rolled... oh, wait. I was looking at your hit points, because the combat tracker shows your hit points as well. And I'm like, how did Tex roll a 224?
I'm very good at going first.
Also, you are going first, but that's because you got a 26.
Yeah.
Not because you're... oh my gosh. And we are going to have Magpie be going at initiative 5, because that's Cavill's initiative as well. Oh, that's not... right, that put Magpie after a combat dummy. We're going to update combatant again.
Using your health as initiative would be a fascinating mechanic that would probably work very poorly, but in an interesting way.
Well,
the brick wall goes first.
Oh, wait. Lair actions go at initiative 20.
The environment goes first.
The wall of lava attacks. I assure you, it has more hit points than you. Not if I freeze it. Okay. The wall of obsidian falls on you with an attack. It still has more hit points than you. But now I kind of want to see a game system where your hit points are your initiative.
Yeah.
And
though I'm sure. Actually, you could do it reverse order. I mean, small, low hit point things tend to be hypervigilant, right?
That could kind of make sense. And also, that would probably make it less likely that we have a situation where someone has a certain number of hit points.
The person
who goes after them hits them, their hit points go down, and then they get another turn.
Yeah, no, I was thinking about that, and I mean, it would be a fascinating thing to have happen if not for the potential of dual loops.
That would be hilarious if it was not a game that was being taken seriously. We will only have serious tabletop role-playing games here. He says, in a game where we constantly say to check for paladins when you go to the bathroom. Because we have a character named Chadrick McCool Guy, and don't forget Cavill and Hobby.
We're perfectly serious. Except when we banter.
All right. So we have our initiative in place. You are in the arena. I've put in your starting positions, but you can move wherever on your turn. The hexes are there because hexagons are cool. They're also 5 foot. All right. Tex, would you like to go first?
Sure. Are the dummies just standing there?
There is the sound of something winding up, and they're starting to shake a little bit as sand and grit comes out from between the joinery of the armor, but they haven't turned to face you yet.
Sand is everywhere.
It's very coarse.
And gritty.
There's the Sith over there that is just making sure that the combat area is free of cacti.
I will move here and hold my action.
Okay. So you are standing between two different tracks. This is going to be wonderful. I should probably first begin combat. There we go. Uh-huh. Hobby, it is your turn.
Hobby is thinking that maybe there would be better.
Okay. So you've
Hobby is feeling sort of weird. Because Rogue is supposed to be Rogue.
I forgot to do a thing.
Uh-oh.
This is a very important thing. Civilizations can rise or fall based on this thing that I have forgotten. I forgot to add A.
I'm A! Don't forget to equip A's ring.
I did that first.
I thought you were going to say that you forgot to click the next turn button.
No, see, it's on. I'm next turned.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, it was a civilization joke.
Ah.
There's always one more turn. All right, so it is combat dummy one's turn. It slides on the track. Like, its legs don't move. It just sort of spins towards you, Tex, and then slides directly over to make an attack. And it is going to do a multi-attack. If I can see how many times it attacks with a multi-attack, then it can do a multi-attack. Two melee attacks. Okay. It throws mealworms at you for its first attack. Oh, that's a nat 20.
Concerning.
So now I get to ask an awkward question. Does a nat 20 always hit?
Yes. However, another ability the ring has, because it is an adamantine inertial damper, is it negates crits. So if you activate the ring, yes, you will still take damage, but you will take half damage of a normal attack roll, not a crit attack roll. Assuming the ring works properly.
I genuinely have to look this up. I am going to activate the...
Okay.
The thing.
The ring. Have you... The wing? Hey, I'm stalling for time here.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have actual charges on it.
It should.
I did not mean to do that.
The weird thing is, I added the charges, and you get them back with a long rest because it said you got them back.
Yeah, but they're not listed in the...
Look.
In the inventory.
The name of this episode, I kid you not, is Closed Alpha. We'll worry
they're
about,
not listed in my inventory.
We will worry about that later. We can still say you activate the ring. But this means that you will need to roll a 1d6 to see if you glitch.
Hang on a second.
I fixed mine. It didn't have max charges listed.
I'm reminded that Ellie still has the talking doll in her inventory. Okay, with the 5, indeed, you do not glitch. So what still happens is, first of all, your damage reduction is going to happen. We'll resolve that with a roll in a little bit. Your movement is getting reduced to 0 until the start of your next turn, which you've already moved, and you don't get to move again until the start of your next turn, unless you're using fancy abilities, which you now can't, because your movement is reduced to 0. And if I check my notes, if you have to make any dexterity-based rolls, they are going to be at disadvantage and your modifiers don't work. Basically, you are immediately surrounded by some type of somewhat vibrating stasis field that helps to negate the damage from this. It shimmers not unlike the shields that were used in the Dune movie that starred Sting back in the day. So now, with all that said, I will roll damage for the first attack. Okay. That was a 6, so you take 3 points of damage.
Okay.
And then it goes for its second attack. I do not believe a 16 is going to even come close to your AC, especially with the +5 that's currently in place.
Whoosh!
Yeah.
All right.
Incidentally, I'm not going to make a big deal about it right now, like go back and reroll anything or anything, but the official ruling is that adamantine armor makes critical hits into normal hits.
That's what I meant.
Which means that, so it isn't just don't roll the damage. It's if a critical hit, if what was rolled for a critical hit wouldn't hit as a normal hit, then it doesn't hit.
And your AC is 25. So a 20 would not
against
hit.
A roll of a 24.
Oof.
Well, let me, yeah. With
But this
with
is not
if I was 24. You're right.
This is not important enough to hold up the game any more than I already have. I'm just letting you know going forward.
Part of this session is, let's see if this is actually a useful magical item that you want to keep using. So, all good. Except
if it raises my armor class to 30 on use, already it's got my thumbs up.
But remember, you can't move when it's not your turn now.
Yeah, but I can move when it is my turn.
All right, it is Combat Dummy 2's turn. They are going to slide on the track over to here, which happens to be right in front of Hobby. And they are also going to try to make 2 slam attacks.
Okay. Well, we're testing this thing, so Hobby will activate the ring.
Okay. Well, that was a 19 to hit. Would that have hit you anyway?
What's my...
Your AC right now is 20.
No, that would not have hit. Cat-like reflexes. Swoosh!
Wait a minute. Was your AC 20 before you activated the ring?
I haven't hit the activation on it, so...
Okay.
Hobby's AC was 18 when we started, equipped the ring.
And the ring,
before I equipped...
The ring counts as a ring of protection +2 before you do any activation. So that raised your AC to 20.
Woo!
So you don't even have to activate the ring. You still go... Like, you're like, okay, so we got to test these rings. I might have to activate it. And it missed me anyway.
Mm-hmm.
This is fine. Or you could have decided at the last minute that you were going to dodge anyway because feline reflexes. And you are not prone to thinking about, I should let it hit me.
Yeah, pretty much. It just sort of, you know, duck. Oh, right. I was going to use the ring. Whoops.
The second attack was a 6. It does even worse.
Yeah.
Okay. Next
Where do I find my criffing AC on this sheet? Anyway?
It's over on the left. It's right underneath your character picture in a little shield icon.
Oh, the thing that I ignore because it's in a little doohickey icon and doesn't have any stuff on it. Got it.
Okay. It is now time for Combat Dummy 3, who is over here on this track, and they will slide over to here. And Cavill, are you flying currently?
Cavill is muted. Well, Eo is muted, but
I assume Cavil's flying.
Okay. How high off the ground are you?
How tall is the ceiling?
There is none.
Oh, right. We're outside. Okay.
There might have been a ceiling.
Sorry.
But it's now sand.
I got confused.
I didn't explain that part.
10 feet, probably.
Okay. So you're 10 feet off the ground. That means Combat Dummy 3 has absolutely no way of swinging and hitting you.
Oh.
So it's not going to try to swing and punch you. It is instead going to shoot magic missile at you.
Oops.
So.
How about no magic missile?
You activate the ring?
Yes.
Okay. Roll me a d6.
I can't figure out how to activate the ring.
Don't worry about that. That's a thing that I thought was coded properly, but is not coded properly.
It doesn't have max activations in it.
Yeah.
So it doesn't. So I fixed mine. So
we might have to treat it like we were playing on paper.
Fine.
Okay. With a 4, you get no glitches. So your movement is reduced to 0. The little bat wings on your Converse sneakers of flying actually stop.
They freeze.
They freeze like the ice cube. Jail for Combat Dummy. Jail for 1,000 years. But because the activation of the ring is equivalent to, with additional things, casting shield, it means magic missile just doesn't do a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because that is how shield is written. All right. Over a loudspeaker, you hear Bindle going, okay, so far so good. We haven't had any glitches yet. So, you know, maybe this batch is going to work just fine. It is A's turn. It is my time to shine. And by my time to shine, I mean, I'm going to go over to here. If I can move A properly. Yeah. Because I see all these tracks in the ground and I'd like to not get run over by a giant animated suit of armor. No offense, Tex.
None taken.
And I'm going to hold my action. That's what you say, right? Hold your action?
Uh-huh. You're going to wait and see what happens.
Ah, wait and see, and hope that nothing shoots magic missiles at me. Because apparently they can do that. Combat Dummy 4's turn.
Oh, hey, I found an elevation thing.
Oh, useful.
Which isn't doing anything.
Oh, now it says you're 10 feet off the ground, but I mouse over you. It also says you're 0.1 feet off the ground, but also 10 feet off the ground. I'm not sure why.
No, it says I moved 0.1 feet, because I accidentally picked me up.
Well, Combat Dummy 4 slides across the track as the others have done, and it goes to right here, which looks like it is right next to Cavil, but it is not because flying. Oh, that's not what I wanted to do. I wanted it to be facing that way. There we go. And because at that particular part of the track, because Cavil is 10 feet off the ground, I would say technically Magpie is closest. But of beings that have more than a single hit point and have rings, Tex is closest.
Uh-huh.
So it is going to try to hit Tex, not by swinging because it's still too far away. It is going to toss a chill touch at Tex. And I'm fairly certain that even without activating the ring, which Tex did, a 14 would not come close.
Yeah. If they rolled a 14 and then another 14 and then two more, it would hit.
Ellie, I know that you appreciate that I've tried to make sure you are even more impossible to hit.
I do.
Until a protojuror shows up, in which case, then you might be hard to hit.
Oh, yeah. We've had multiple enemies roll above a 30 to hit.
Yes. Next up is Cavil.
It does not seem as though any of my friends are injured.
In part because of rings, in part because, well, that one Combat Dummy 2 is trying their best to hit Hobby. In their defense, they're trying to hit Hobby.
Swoosh, whoosh, whoosh.
Bindle comes over the speaker system again. Hobby, I know that you feel like it's helping, but could you stop trying to make plasma sword sounds while you dodge things?
So I am going to give a bardic inspiration to text, and I'm going to change things manually because it keeps insisting that it can't consume resources that don't exist, even though they do exist. And I will draw a wand of magic missiles and point it at the one that tried to cast magic missile at me.
That's not magic missile. This is magic missile. Okay. Go ahead and roll your damage.
And that was at third level, which means there are 5 darts, which will do 10 damage.
All right. Where are your hit points? Done. Okay. Next up is Magpie the Crow's turn. You can see everything on the map, so you cannot move Magpie into the darkness. I may have kept that in mind.
Poor Magpie. Cannot go into the darkness.
Why is Magpie not flying? Magpie is going to disengage and go up.
Now I see, because Foundry 13 gives you a record of how you've moved, above Magpie it says plus 20 feet. I know that means Magpie went...
I think that that's the elevation marker, because Cap is still at plus 10 feet.
Yes. And I think that's neat. That's good. I like that it's doing that. Also, part of my brain is insisting that this means that Magpie grew 20 feet this day.
Cathol does not cast enlarge on their familiar.
For the record, this particular map was taken from a Battletech source book. So having a magpie be 20 foot tall, maybe it's a new Omnimech from the clans. Who knows? I liked playing Battletech. I could not find people to play it with me, but I really liked playing Battletech. Mm. Anyway. And Magpie will probably call as a free action.
That's fair.
Okay. Combat Dummy 5's turn. Naturally, because of how the tracks are, and because Cavill went straight up, I have to put Combat Dummy 5 directly underneath Cavill. This is fine. We're all fine here.
Oh, no.
The question is, how tall is a magically animated suit of armor? Should I go the silly route and say that it was tall enough they could try to attack Cavill's feet? No. No, I am not going to. That would be funny, though.
It would be funny, though.
Oh, wait. This one raises a hand up at Cavill, though. And you can see that attached to its wrist is a mechanically maintained light crossbow. It intends to cast arrow, technically bolt. That will not hit you because I saw the 5 on the die.
No, it will not. I also saw the 5 on the die.
Which brings it to a mighty 7. Would you accept a 7? Special deal.
Given that my AC is 17, no.
Oh, fine, fine. We'll find another buyer. A Combat Dummy 6's turn. It also slides on the track, which actually moves it away from the person who was closest to it. But these are pre-programmed to do things. So that's a manufacturer's problem. It is now closest to Cavill, so it is also going to try to shoot at Cavill. I did not initially say this session would be everyone try to beat up Cavill, but also I gave you a ring that, when activated, gives you effectively plus 7 to your AC. So I'm not too upset by the results. It's going to attempt a Ray of Frost. Huh. Well, that is a 21. But you already activated your ring. Oh, wait a minute. You had your turn after you activated the ring.
I think I did, yeah.
Yes. So this is... So your ring is not currently active. A 21 is going to hit you unless you activate it again.
Normally, I would not activate it again for a Ray of Frost. But given that we're testing the rings, I will activate it again.
Okay. And once you activate it, it takes your AC that was 17, turns it to not 17... And a 21 doesn't hit you.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Give me a moment here. Nothing to see here. Nothing to see at all.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We see nothing.
Yes, you definitely see nothing. As two beings fall from the sky, and land in superhero poses, leaving small craters in the sand around them.
Wow, that was really cool. Let's do that again. We're not doing it again, but I want to do it again.
Two protojurors have landed out of the sky, and they're definitely sounding like kobolds.
Oh, boy.
Right. So, I was reviewing the footage. Did you know that we record our interactions? It's kind of neat. Anyway, I was reviewing that, and it occurred to me that you have one of my kobolds. I'd like them back, please.
Yours?
Well, yeah. A over there was part of the Lost Eye clan, which means he still technically is. Is it he now? I never keep track. Right now it's a they, them. I haven't really decided. Oh, never mind. Okay, they, them. Thanks for correcting me. Want to keep things clear. Anyway, point is, A's ours. We're taking A.
Not if A doesn't want you to.
I really don't want to. I do not consent.
All right, then. Looks like A's not yours.
I respectfully disagree. And also, remember how the fight went last time? We're fully healed now.
Well, you're welcome to try.
Don't I recall that you started a new clan?
Well, it's kind of like Lost Eye 2 Electric Boogaloo.
Right, but it's a new clan.
Yeah, but it was started from the vestiges of the old clan.
No, it was started from you.
Yes, the vestiges of the old clan.
No, is you.
At the time, I thought it was just me, but it turns out A over there survived. So it's myself and A and everyone else. And me. Yes.
Well, in that case, A gets a
good for you.
Say, in that case, if you really think A is supposed to be there, maybe A gets a say in whether they want to be here or elsewhere. And maybe they should be helping to run things like, you know, say, no, stop, go away. And you should obey.
I'm sorry. Did you think that we were a democracy? We don't do these failed political things. No, we do the tried and true method of whoever's the oldest is the leader. And that's me.
I think it's us, actually. We're the oldest.
You're not members of the clan.
Tex, hit him.
Very well.
Can we just marvel that Tex is a battle master and frequently yells things like, Hobby, hit that person.
Mm-hmm.
I had it coming.
A catch may order a king.
Hobby, give yourself a luck point. And Tex, it is
Let's
your
see,
turn.
Where are they hiding? Where are my luck points hiding?
In your inventory.
Inventory, okay.
I am going to provoke so many attacks of opportunity.
By so many, you provoke two. That first one is not going to hit ring or no ring. That second one is not going to hit ring or no ring. Actually, wait, no. No, the second one doesn't even happen because you haven't moved outside of the range of the second one. Okay. You only left the range of one of them.
Actually, I guess I'm assuming this one is Zed.
That one is Zed. For some reason, the labeling didn't carry over. I'm going to edit. No, don't do that.
Not like that. Not like that.
Did I? How did that work? Are these both named Zed?
Oh, you dropped Zed twice and not,
I am going to have to remove this one, I think. I'm going to add this one to the combat tracker. This one, it says protojur, but I checked, it said Zed before. I am going to, give me a moment. This is kind of sort of fighting with Foundry, but not really. This is fighting with
We've
logistics.
Been playing for about an hour. Why do you say we take a break?
I'll fix things over the break. This sounds perfect. Thank you, Ellie, for being our timekeeper. I'm going to hit the pause button now. And we're back. And we have A saying, wait a minute, why did you just yell punchline? That makes no sense whatsoever. Was it supposed to be funny in an ironic way? You've been out of the clan too long. You no longer get our memes and humor. Rejoin the fold, A. Join us. We have cookies. Never! Wait, cookies?
We have cookies, too.
Okay, but are they open?
Come on over to the dark side, Luke. It'll be a hoot.
No.
That's Garth Vader.
Oh.
I will brook no opposition to this. Thank you. I'm here all week. Now, Tex, where we left off, you had moved to attack Zed. And then we realized there were a bunch of problems with how I had labeled the protojurors on the map. That has been fixed. You have made a beeline for Zed, invoking one attack of opportunity, which maybe they were just waving at you for all it was worth. We also realized that Cavill had not rolled a D6 when activating the ring a second time. It was rolled during the break. It was a 4, if I remember correctly. But whatever it was not a 1. Fancy things happen on a 1. Tex, it is still technically your turn. You are face-to-face with Zed, which is amazing that we get to say that, because you don't usually get to be face-to-face with anything unless they're on a steppy stool. Or in A's case, a very tall ladder.
To be fair, the organic part of Zed is kind of on a steppy stool.
It's just robot-shaped. That is a 26 to hit Zed. Zed's AC is a 23. You hit Zed a lot.
Actually, intend to attack twice. 13, probably not going to hit.
Not as much, but the first one was really good.
I'm going to take a chance.
And now I've got a song from ABBA in my head. What is this? Maneuvers, a goading attack. So I need to roll a wisdom saving throw, DC 18. And this particular goading attack stat block does not let me just click a button to roll. So I have to go up here to do that. Oh, no. Well, Zed got a 28.
Well, it's an at 20.
Zed is not goaded. But Zed will
Zed
take...
Zed is not goaded.
Zed will take 13 points of bludgeoning damage from Chainbreaker, the Warhammer.
Yes.
Has the armor on Zed been cracked?
It's dented in the middle. If Zed had a xiphoid process, it would... Is it the xiphoid process in the front?
Sternum? It's at the very base of the sternum.
Okay. It's above that. It's xiphoid process and styloid process always confuse me. They're both processes, but one of them is just behind the ear. And if you push on it, it feels like all of your fillings are popping out. If you don't have fillings, you still feel like all of your fillings are popping out. Huh. It's a pressure point. Anyway, you have done your two attacks.
That's it for me.
Okay. So it is now Hobby's turn. Hobby, you are 10 feet away from a protojuror. You were also right next to a combat dummy who's been trying very hard and gotten very far.
Yeah, well, let's see. I've got a action or two that I can... Are you a feature? Yeah, I think you're a feature. Oh, where's my features? Nope, not that one, not that one. I can take a bonus action to disengage.
You can.
I would like to bonus action... Well... I mean, honestly, yeah, I'd like to bonus action, and I would like to go here.
So you bonus action disengage from Combat Dummy 2 to go technically 3 hexes around, 180 degrees around X.
Yeah.
Possibly brushing up against X's legs as you go, because...
I mean, possibly can I run between them?
Of course you can.
But yeah.
I'm going to... Just for the fun of it, make a dexterity saving throw for X. X does not fall down. X does not fall down because you have tripped X.
Trap.
It is mostly because of the sheer amount of mass they have as opposed to their skill.
Hobby is going to then do a real sorry about this and attempt to do the stabbity stabbity thing with her knives. Well, at least one of them anyway.
You stab it with your steely knives.
Yeah, well.
That one's named Dan.
No. No, 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 no. She wouldn't name her knives Dan.
What, Steely
Dan? One of them's Bob. No.
Steely Bob.
Yes.
The other one is Barbara. They're twins.
Maybe. Yeah, well, she usually only uses one at once because she doesn't get double attack. It's sad.
I have with a lot of knives.
One knife could be Steely Dan, and one knife could be Steely Dan.
There is that.
I have so many mind knives. So this one's Bob, and this one's Bob, and this one's Bob, and this one's Bob or Ann. Bob, 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 Bob or Ann.
Will a 21 break through the damage? Break through the armor?
Nope, they have an AC of 23.
Yuck. Well, poop.
All right.
I need something with more bonuses.
Do you do anything else?
I don't think I have anything I can do. I've done my bonus action. I've done an attack action. What else would I have?
You did some movement. You could move further, but that would invoke an attack of opportunity. unless you kept moving around Exmoor.
Is X facing me?
Yes. Well, kind of.
No, I like it right where I am. I am going to do one more thing, which is going to be bright light. The dummies know what's a target?
You hear no response.
Ah, criff. That's bad. Cavil, what's wrong with bright light?
While it's still your turn, Hobby?
Yes.
Are you intentionally attacking with your offhand weapon?
I didn't know it was in my offhand.
It is. You only get a +5 as opposed to a +10.
Those should be swapped around. How do I tell it which one is which?
I'm not sure.
I mean, I guess I'm going to have to do the... I'm not left-handed maneuver, but... Okay, let's unequip that one. And let's unequip that one.
Wait, do you get a penalty for attacking with your offhand weapon?
It's not so much that you get a penalty, it's that you don't get bonuses.
Yeah, but to your damage, not to the attack, I thought.
It's to my roll. One has a +5, one has a +10, and they're the wrong... Okay, if I equip that
It's assuming
now.
That Beth is... That Hobby is attacking with both weapons.
Right.
And if you attack with your offhand on this... If you attack with both your main weapon and your offhand weapon, then you don't get the dex bonus.
It did say one-handed and not offhand. So...
You don't get the dex bonus for your offhand, but the main hand still gets it.
You don't get your dex bonus to the damage. I thought you still get it to the attack.
I don't think so.
I need to double check this because I'm...
That's not what I was doing with Mazir.
Well, this is an important part of any D&D game, which is where we pause to say, wait, what do the rules say?
A is throwing psychic blades.
Yes, because A has it written out for offhand and main hand. And they both are 1d20 +4 +4. And the damage is 1d6 psychic +4 for main hand and 1d4 psychic +4 for offhand.
Does A have the fighting style?
It might just be because of how psychic blades are done.
That's
because
true.
They act like they're throwing daggers, but there's still a psychic attack that's built into the subclass.
Oh, it thinks it's dagger. I'm not proficient in it. If I'm proficient in one dagger, I should be proficient in all the daggers, right?
You would think.
Well,
are you?
It wasn't the offhanded. It was that it wasn't listed as me being proficient in it.
Oh, sure enough.
I fixed that.
Found it.
I assume I'm proficient in daggers. Aren't I proficient in daggers? It's a simple
thing. The damage of the bonus attack. You're right. Well, I was doing it wrong with Bazir then.
Oh. I figured
out. But also.
Moving on, I will be not left-handed. Okay.
Well, I'm bringing up that it was still your turn because
that
21 should have been a 26.
And a 26 would hit because their AC is 23. We got there! So go ahead and roll your damage.
Okay. I'm going to roll that damage. Normal hit. That's a 10.
Okay. Ow!
And?
That would hurt if I had nerve endings.
And I want to add a smite to that. There's my spells. And here's my divine smite. I'm going to use a divine smite. First level spell. With another 10.
I don't like that.
Do protogers count as undead?
They do not.
Darn. The question is, have I managed to break a hole in the armor?
Well, you definitely stabbed it with your knife. Do you pull your knife back out?
You know what? Not yet.
Then, so far as you can see, there is no hole because it's plugged with a knife.
The knife is plugging it. Okay, that's fine. Okay.
You are not letting the nanites out. There is no other way that they could possibly get out of this spot.
Well, I'm sure that there are ways, but I'm not letting them out yet.
Okay.
I am, however, between the combat dummies on their tracks, as far as I can tell. And, well, rather, I am in front. X is in between me and all the combat dummies, except the one that probably isn't going to be able to go straight up.
One of them rumbles and then rises up on an arm that's sticking out of the sand and is now 10 feet off the ground.
Oops.
It sways that's a little bit and then makes an attack. No, that is not true. That is not canon. That is not what takes place. Is there anything else that you do?
I don't think there's anything else I can do. Can I can wait to activate the ring a second time, correct?
The ring activates with a reaction. Like the ring activates as if you were casting shield, which is a reaction.
Yeah. I'm not sure I've activated the ring at all because I kept dodging. Just
you didn't have a need to. You still have three charges. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
All right. Then it is Combat Dummy 1's turn. They slide on the track to here because that's how the track works. And they are now really far away from everyone. This is fine.
Magpie could make an attack of opportunity. No, maybe not.
Magpie squawks loud. Actually, no, Magpie couldn't because Magpie was one hex away.
Oh, right.
There's a one hex gap.
Okay. I see it now.
It was the narrowest part of the hex, but that's still technically a 5-foot gap. Mm-hmm. Because that's how hex maps work. Unless we say otherwise, which I will for now. So the question is, how close are these two characters? That's 39, that's 44, but also, I was told there'd be no math.
You're the one who made this map crash. This is not my fault.
Well, y'all didn't stay in nice little rows for me to attack.
Sorry about that.
I'm going to say that because I'm not going to Pythagorean theorem this, that technically Tex is closer to than Cavill is. But also, Hobby, where Hobby is closer than either of those two. So it's going to try to attack Hobby. It does not try to swing ineffectively because that would be silly. Actually, that would be a reason for me to do it. You know how I GM. But it is going to try to do a Firebolt. Because this one does Firebolt. Does a 21 hit.
Firebolt, huh?
Yes. Now, it's a cantrip. So you could just say, I take the damage, we have more pressing matters at hand. Or you could activate the ring and then just say, no, it doesn't.
I'm contemplating. I'm also contemplating if I have anything else that would be more, well, hilarious. Time reaction. I have not burned my reaction. I might want to burn the ring, but also maybe
absorb element.
What I want. Do I have to roll that?
Let me see what this says, because it's been a couple campaigns since we had someone use Absorb Elements. Spell captures some of the incoming energy, lessening its effect on you and storing it for your next melee attack. You have resistance to the triggering damage type until the start of your next turn. Also, the first time you hit with a melee attack on your next turn, the target takes an extra 1d6 damage of the triggering type, and the spell ends. Okay. Uh-huh. Oh, imagine if you crit and did a smite and had absorb elements at the same time. And your sneak attack. Oh.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't roll sneak attack. Oh,
this is calling it an attack roll. I don't know if I need to actually roll it at this time or what.
Well, I have to roll damage. You don't roll attack right now. I have to roll damage.
Okay.
And you're going to take half of this.
Mm-hmm. Well,
usually when damage is rounded down to a zero, you just say minimum one.
That sure is a one.
that is a 1 point of damage. It's the equivalent of a little, it pulls out a sparkler and tosses it at you.
Obviously it missed almost entirely, and it just sort of seared some of my whiskers. Rude. Nevertheless, I will take those seared whiskers.
Okay. This is hilarious. Combat Dummy 2's turn. It moves on the track to here. Yes, they are on pre-programmed track, so it doesn't matter if they were right next to you. They will move away from you and invoke attacks of opportunity if you choose to use them. At this point,
I wasn't close enough.
The person who's closest to them is, oh, I kind of wanted it to be X, but no, it's A.
Is it? Oh, no, A.
Yep. And they are going to use their range attack, which is Acid Splash, which is a Dexterity 10 saving throw.
Use your saving throw.
I'll use saving throw. Is it super effective?
Let's find out.
Wait, that's a
That's an ability check. That's not good. Hold on. Stand by. Standing by.
It was DC 10 dexterity saving throw, and that was a 15 for A.
Uh-huh.
So.
A ducks.
And because Acid Splash is a cantrip, making the saving throw means no damage at all.
Exactly.
Next up is Combat Dummy 3. Tex, an attack of opportunity is evoked. Do you do anything?
I do not.
Okay.
That would use my reaction, and I want my reaction.
Just making sure. And let's see, 54. Okay. So Tex is the closest combatant. It's going to Magic Mixel. That's it. It Mixelplexes. Which means you have to convince him to say it backwards. Tex. I hate to say it, Ellie, but Tex is going to take 2 points of magic missile damage unless you can do something to mitigate it.
I will bravely take the damage.
You brave, brave person.
You'll just have to buff that out later.
That is less than 1% of my total hit points. Not even remaining, not even maximum hit points, total hit points right now. And I'm not sure I notice.
What's weird is I can't press the button to go to the next character in combat.
I don't think I did that.
I can click next round, and now nothing happened.
Whoops.
I don't want to end combat. That'll wreck everything. Welcome to... Wait, there we go.
Hey, it was my turn.
Well, it was because I clicked next round to see what would happen, and then it decided to undo all the lag. It is A's turn.
I mean, you could take my turn away from me if you wish. I'd prefer if you didn't.
No, don't take A's turn. A needs a turn.
Okay. A is going to do a thing. A is going to rush over to Combat Dummy 2.
Solid tactical move.
And... Oh, no.
Get a nat one on an acrobatics check. No!
A was going to attempt to climb onto the Combat Dummy 2's back and use a bonus action to hide.
Again, solid tactical move. But A trips on the sand. His feet fall off.
No!
Combat A does trip on the sand and smack into the combat dummy and, in fact, knocks the shoes off of the combat dummy.
Oops.
A is now face first in the sand with one metal boot on each hand.
Oops.
A sticks their head out of the sand, spits the bunch out, and says, I'm okay, I think. I just need to use a free hand to take this boot off. Oh, no. Well, I'll use the other hand to take the... Oh, no. And I'm going to leave it there because I don't want to roll too much for A because I'm rolling too much for too many characters anyway. Why do GMs do this to themselves? The world may never know. Because too many of us have not learned this lesson. It is Combat Dummy 4's turn. Oh, so have I. So have I. Where is... Oh, that's right. Combat Dummy 4 is over here. Combat Dummy 5 is the one that's underneath Cavill. So Combat Dummy 4 is going to slide over the track to here, which means A is closest, which means it's going to attack A.
Oh.
With a chill touch. That is a 19 on the die, which brings it to a 21. A activates the ring and rolls a 1.
Oh, no.
Which, dear listeners, for these prototype rings, we've been rolling a d6 every time the ring is used because on a 1, a glitch occurs. What glitch? Well, we roll a d8 to find out.
5.
So according to this, A's boots fall off. Wait, no.
We already got that.
That'd free their hands pretty quickly.
5. Attractive magic. The wielder is moved closer to the attacker until they've moved 50 feet or collide with the attacker or an unmovable surface. Both the attacker and the wielder take 1d6 bludgeoning damage for every 10 feet moved this way, though the ring's damage mitigation are still in effect. If another being is in the wielder's path, they may make a dex saving throw to dodge out of the way, or take similar damage for the distance traveled. So A goes to here, and we're going to say A bounces off the combat dummy, but that's less than 5 feet. Well, that is 5 feet, which means that's not far enough to take damage. A is going to take 2d6 bludgeoning damage.
But it's mitigated.
Yes. That's 6 total. So A takes 3, and the combat dummy is going to take
6.
The combat dummy takes 6 points of A damage. A, by the way, is still wearing the boots as gloves.
Obviously, this is where some of that damage is coming from. Clonk.
A clonked up against the combat dummy upside down with the boots positioned properly on the ground. A, however, is not, because boots on hands, as opposed to boots and pants.
Oops.
Techno music is not playing.
That's probably good.
Yes. Well, we finally had a glitch. The DM is happy. Cavil, it is your turn.
The combat dummies are attached to tracks?
Yes. Well, physically attached, no, but they only move on the tracks that you can see because of how the sand is arranged.
Okay. Physically attached, no.
There is a deer in my yard.
Oh! Oh, dear!
Who is very startled to see me. Hello, dear.
I would like to try to pick up Combat Dummy 5.
Give me a strength athletics roll.
No.
No. No. Cavil's doing it with yeet.
Oh, telekinesis. I didn't see that in the chat.
Ah.
There was something stuck to my monitor, which changed what it looked like. It looked like it was telekinesis. That's not a thing. You gain the ability to move or manipulate creatures or objects by thought. Ran approves. When you cast a spell as your action each round for the duration, you can exert your will on one creature or object that you can see within range, causing the appropriate effect below. You can affect the same target round after round or choose a new one at any time. If you can switch targets, the prior target is no longer affected. Creature. You can try to move a huge or smaller creature. Make an ability check with your spellcasting ability, contested by the creature's strength check. If you win the contest, you move the creature up to 30 feet in any direction, including upward, but not beyond the range of the spell, until the end of your next turn, the creature is restrained in your telekinetic grip. The creature lifted upward is suspended in mid-air. On subsequent rounds, you can use your action to attempt to maintain your telekinetic grip on the creature by repeating the contest. Okay.
And because I'm a bard, I have half prof in all ability checks.
So which combat dummy are you moving?
The one that's under me.
Of course you would make it that one, so it makes it harder for me to click on it. Let me find it in the initiative tracker, because I can open their sheet that way.
Well, I said I could, that I'm trying to remove it from...
Certainly, and I have to make a strength check for this.
Oof.
They're not that strong. They only have a +2. That's an 18.
Ah.
What's its target?
Well, I rolled a 6 on the die, so...
Yeah. Ah. So, the 18 beat a 13. Because of the various bonuses that Cavil had available.
Do not use cutting words.
It'd be funny. But yeah, that makes sense. Okay, so you go to pick up Combat Dummy 5, and there is some resistance. As if you're, like, it's not physically attached to anything, from the looks of it. I mean, the feet don't even move when it slides across the ground. And there's no pole sticking out of the sand to make it be, like, an automaton controlled by something underneath.
Maybe it's
but
magnetic.
There's something holding it in place. Could be magnets. We don't know how they work. Is there anything else you attempt to do?
No one is really... I can't see A's hit points. Is A hurt?
A has taken some bludgeoning damage, but is not bloodied. You've seen A hurt a lot worse. On a scale of 1 to 40, which is an arbitrary number I came up with just now. A is about a 37.
A only has 40 hit points. Oh, no.
We must protect A. Maybe you should go upwards more.
Yeah, that seems like a decent idea.
All right. Cavil grows 20 feet.
No, Cavil goes
You see a small cityscape model underneath you. There's a film crew, and they are pointing the camera at A, going, Gojira, Gojira.
No, go A, go A.
Does this mean that Cavil is Mothra?
It does mean that Zed is Mecha Gojira.
Mm.
But yes, you fly 20 feet into the air, so now you're at... Well, it should make it be 30 feet, but it's still saying 20 feet at the bottom. Well, I'll remember it's 30 feet. Or I won't. We'll see. Anything else? And does Magpie do anything?
Magpie will stay where it is, and I will stay where I am.
All right. Combat Dummy 5's turn. At this point, the closest combatant is Tex, because you flew 20 more feet up in the air. It is going to fire its light crossbow at Tex. This is going to go all according to plan. Tex does not need to activate a ring to prevent the 20 from hitting. It's a dirty 20.
Mm-hmm.
And because it's not a slam attack, it doesn't have multi-attack for that. So it is now Zed's turn. Zed is going to provoke an attack of opportunity. So before we do anything else, I am going to ask Tex to make that attack of opportunity roll, because I'm sure, unless Ellie has a different plan, that Tex might want to do that.
I do, but I closed my character sheet for some reason.
Whoops.
I have closed so many character sheets this evening. 14.
I gotta roll better.
The trick is you shake the dice more before you let them go, which is why in my after-school club, some of the students will shake the dice for a full 30 seconds before dropping the dice tower. And some of them will shake it for 10 seconds and then look at the die to see which end is up and then place it in the dice tower. Which goes as well as you think, because the dice tower is made to randomize it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, Zed is going to keep moving past Combat Dummy 6, which will evoke an attack of opportunity from the Combat Dummy.
Oh, wait. I apologize. Can I do something real quick?
Sure. Oh, that's right. You had a Bardic Inspiration.
I did.
And a 19 is unfortunately still not going to hit.
It's still not going to hit. I had to roll a 9 or a 10.
Well, you also have 2 luck points, but...
That's not enough.
That wouldn't bring it up to a 23. But it did increase the range that you could have rolled.
Do I get another luck point because I failed in a roll?
You do. You just can't use it this turn.
I can't use it this turn.
Yeah, you can't. You cannot use a luck point earned on the roll that you failed while earning a luck point. That would be hilarious, but no. Oh, that's right. I should probably give out more luck points because Hobby got a nat 1 trying to climb something.
No, A did. A gets a luck point.
Well,
I wasn't
A
trying
two.
To climb anything.
I'm talking about the pile of papers. You tried to climb a wall that was a pile of papers and nat 1'd it.
All right. Yes, but I mean, that's fine. Up to you.
A now has 3 luck points because of that crit fail.
Yay, A!
Now, I think, was it that failed the perception check earlier? Scrolling up all the way. Too far. You'd think that I'd see more GIFs in here with how far I have to scroll.
I don't think we failed any
It was a perception check inside Bindle Brightlight's office. 2 of you succeeded and 1 of you failed.
Oh, Cavil. Cavil failed.
So Cavil would have an additional luck point also. Because, dagnabbit, if I'm giving luck points, I need to follow the rules for luck points.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So the protojur that is known as Zed has run over to A. And
that's
is
bad.
Going to make a grapple check. I am really surprised that's not a higher roll. But okay. That's a 14. For the record, he has a plus 10 and he got a 14. Frickin' Dean. All right, it's my time to shine. It is not my time to shine.
Oops.
All right. Zed picks A up and is holding A under one arm. A is wiggling their little feetsies and their little hands that are in boots, so they look like feetsies, ineffectively. Next up is Combat Dummy 6. They move on the track, and the closest combatant is Zed.
Yay!
Not that they do much damage.
Not that they really do any damage right now. Oh.
Rolled a 2.
Yes, but the animation made it look like it was going to be a 20. And the second attack is a 22, which is 1 point too low.
Can't use a luck point for the first one that failed? No.
Nope. I am not giving these constructs luck points. That is a bridge too far. X is a little dismayed that you have stabbed them in their body. If you had to stab them, you had to stab them somewhere else. Like, not their body. Possibly their shadow.
Nope. Not unless I can pin them to their ground by their shadow, but I don't have that spell. It'd be cool if I did.
Okay. So we are going to look at this. Their multi-attack is specifically one slam and two Eldritch turrets. So first the slam.
Activate that ring.
Okay. Now that's not going to mitigate a 33, but it will reduce this damage by half.
That's what the yeah.
Let me roll my. And with a 3, you don't activate a glitch. Okay. So that is going to be 15 points of bludgeoning damage. And there's also going to be...
Let's see. Activating the ring is the thing that...
This also does not stack with other means of reducing your damage by half.
No, it's not that that I want to do. I want to look at something else.
Don't mind me and the ruler tool.
I can barely see the ruler tool because I have X's character sheet open. So I just see this little purple line peeking out from the side every now and then and going back in.
Okay, the thing that I want... Oh, there it is. Nope, I already used my reaction to... Okay. Already used my reaction with the ring.
Also, the ring doesn't stack with other abilities that reduce damage.
It wasn't about reducing damage.
Okay.
It was about screwing up the... attacker in certain ways.
All right. So the Eldritch turret goes off, and that's a 36 to hit. I think even with your additional plus 5, that goes over.
There'll be 25 if I'd have to actually hit the activation on the ring.
This is still, well, that doesn't really do much right now, but
okay.
This is still going to be reduced by half because the ring is still active.
Uh-huh.
So that is going to be 16 points of damage. Followed by the second Eldritch Turret attack.
That would make my thing exactly if I get a total plus... Do I get a total plus 5 or an additional plus 5?
When you activate the ring, it gives you an additional plus 5.
Above the plus 2 it's already doing.
Yes, so technically it totals a plus 7. But the plus 2 is always active.
In that case, the turret misses. If I have an effective 27, it misses.
No, your AC is 20 because the ring is equipped. If you unequip the ring, your AC goes down to 18.
Oh, okay. I was told there'd be no math crash. I was told there'd be no math.
I said there'd be no math. I lied.
Okay.
I have a reaction.
How do you react to this?
Oh, is that an Eldritch Blast? Really?
I've seen Eldritch Blasts. And you, sir, don't have an
you
Eldritch Blast.
You couldn't hit a shoebox.
Cutting words. As a reaction, when a creature that's not immune to being charmed, you can see within 60 feet, makes an attack roll, ability check, or damage roll. You can expend one use of Bardic Inspiration, roll the die, and subtract the number from the creature's roll. You can do so after the roll, but before knowing the result. And you don't even need to make a roll, because if it's reduced by 1, it's a miss.
Yep.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
All right, how much am I taking question. From the
Is
other
it immune
one,
to being
though?
Charmed? Yes. X is immune to charm.
Why? Oh no, that's terrible. X is already charmed?
Well, that's an excellent question to ask. But one of the many immunities on X's character sheet says charmed.
Boo. Well, now we know. Okay, how much total damage am I taking now that you've cut everything in half?
Well, I have to roll the damage for the second Eldritch turret, and then I will be able to tell you. It's going to be another 15. I keep rolling around 30.
Okay, so how much of you, let's see, 15 and...
15, then 16, then 15 again.
So 30, 46?
Something like that. I was told there would be no math by the lying DM.
Okay. I don't think I'm concentrating on anything at this time.
You might just be remembering a previous concentration.
Well, I'm not concentrating on anything now.
We will have to open up your character sheet and let's take a look. Effects. Bane. Yeah, you haven't been concentrating on Bane for a while now.
No, I have not.
We are going to break that concentration.
I wish long rests would wipe
think.
Concentrations.
You would think for something with a limited duration like Bane that saying I sleep for 8 hours means it goes away.
You would think.
Okay.
I'm not. Yeah.
It is Tex's turn.
I asked you nicely. You refused. I tried to convince you. You didn't listen. I'm very sorry for what's about to happen.
Tex casts magic missile. A giant rocket launcher appears next to Tex.
Magic nuclear missile.
Magic SRM battery.
Tex seems to be apologizing not just to Zed. Oh, I'm still on the measuring tool. A, this is going to be difficult.
I've got boots for hands right now. It's already difficult.
Tex throws a small cube on the ground at Zed's feet and says a word nobody recognizes.
Tex says, serious. Dairn's Instant Fortress. I remember you buying this.
Mm-hmm.
You can use an action to place this 1-inch metal cube on the ground and speak its command word. The cube rapidly grows into a fortress that remains until you use an action to speak a command word that dismisses it, which works only if the fortress is empty. The fortress is a square tower, 20 feet on a side and 30 feet high, with arrow slits on all sides and a battlement atop it. Its interior is divided into two floors with a ladder running along one wall to connect them. The ladder ends at a trapdoor leading to the roof. When activated, the tower has a small door on the side facing you. The door opens only at your command, which you can speak as a bonus action. It is immune to the knock spell and similar magic, such as that of a chime of opening. Each creature in the area where the fortress appears must make a DC 15 dexterity saving throw, taking 10d10 bludgeoning damage on a failed save, or half as much damage on a successful one. In either case, the creature is pushed to an unoccupied space outside but next to the fortress. Objects in the area that aren't being worn or carried take this damage and are pushed automatically. The tower is made of adamantine, and its magic prevents it from being tipped over. The roof is not on fire. The roof is, the roof, the door, and the walls each have 100 hit points. Immunity to damage from non-magical weapons, excluding siege weapons. It's possible the jurors are, in fact, siege weapons, by the way, but we'll worry about that later. And resistance to all other damage. Only a wish spell can repair the fortress. This use of the spell counts as replacing a spell of 8th level or lower.
Replicating.
Each casting of wish causes the roof, door, or one wall to regain 50 hit points. Where do you toss the cube to?
Directly behind Zed, who is, as I recall, still carrying A.
This is true. A is in one hex, but technically not in that hex because I'm not stacking character icons if I can help it. So I need to go to drawing tools.
You're tossing it to the side that's on the other side of where A is?
Pretty much. I want A and I to be on the same side.
So
A still has the activated thing. Yeah. A still has the activated thing. A can't be picked up.
A can't be moved.
Right. We have just made the immovable object in the unresistible force. Oh boy, this could be fun.
Well,
does this mean that I won't take damage?
At the very least, half damage.
It will be half damage, but also there might be a hole in the wall of the fortress. I will say that because of which hex you said it's going to go in. No, I don't want to move square right now. The fortress somehow does not go past the walls. There might be some type of magical force preventing it from doing that. Crunch. After the incident. So it's up against the walls. It will push Tex to here. So Tex is going to take this damage also. As are both of these combat dummies. All three of these combat dummies. And Zed. So that is a DC 15 dexterity saving throw, taking 1d10 bludgeoning damage on a failed save or half otherwise. So.
Yes.
Let's do the dex save for A, because that's who we're all really worried about.
Yeah.
That's a 14. A is going to take the 10d10, which is 54 of points of damage. No, not half. Unless A has a roguish ability. Oh, wait. Well, also, you're right. The ring is activated. A does take half.
The ring is activated.
Yes.
Yeah.
So 54 divided by 2 would be 27. A survives that. A is very bloodied. And there is an A-shaped silhouette in the side of your fortress. Because A cannot move through any means other than a glitch.
Yeah, I know.
Which side is the hole, the A-shaped hole?
Probably the one.
Because of where it was placed, it's going to be over. I can't ping the map. There we go. It's going to be like over here.
Okay.
Yeah. Combat dummy 4. I'm going to make the same dexterity save for all the combat dummies because I cannot be bothered.
That would be a fail.
Dead, dead, dead. 54 is more hit points than any of them had to start. For the record, they had 33. So they are just shattered upon the sides of this fortress.
Zed! Zed has to roll.
Zed has to roll as well.
Oh, goodness.
A 4.
Zed decides to not take the full damage anyway.
Zed has Criffing legendary resistance.
Zed has legendary resistances. But also, this means that Zed was torn away from A.
Yep.
As the fortress went up, because A can't be moved. But mm-hmm. Zed is not an immovable object. You hear a muffled voice from inside the fortress go,
"I'm okay. I'm just in a lot of pain. I feel like I just went through an adamantine wall."
And the hole is not... If Zed wants to get to the hole, Zed will have to go through Tex.
I mean, there is a door right there.
I presume it's on
the
closed.
Same side as Tex. Yes, it is closed. Because Tex is the one that can open it. Other people can't.
Yep. Yep.
They could try to go through the A-sized hole, but they're protojurors and therefore are way bigger than the average kobold.
Also, it's on the wrong side. They'd have to go through Tex. Well, Zed would have to go through Tex.
X is on the right side. But also, X is not getting through that hole.
Nope.
Not unless you cut X down to size.
Hardy, working on it.
It is your turn.
I actually had one more thing I wanted to do.
Oh, yes.
Oh.
Please go.
Although I'm not sure if the specific thing I want to do is something that I can do. Oh, I have to actually use the ability first.
Action Surge.
Well, there you go. It is now turn 2 Electric Boogaloo for Tex.
Command.
You speak a one-word command to a creature you can see within range. The target must succeed on a wisdom saving throw or follow the command on its next turn. The spell has no effect if the target is undead, if it doesn't understand your language, or if your command is directly harmful to it. Some typical commands, yada, yada, yada. Okay. Well, it doesn't say anything here about you're naturally immune if whatever. So I can definitely have Zed attempt a wisdom saving throw.
No, this is going to be X.
Oh.
Well, they have the same stats, so I'm going... Actually, no, I am going to roll for X. Let's roll for X. What's your command?
Flee.
You mean like the little insect thing? Or are those arachnids? I never got that straight. I didn't study entomology.
What I wanted to say was go home.
Did you just say entomology? That's a good pun. No, entomology. Entomology is the study of insects. Why would I make a pun about that? It's a very serious profession.
Like moss.
Anyway, we are planning to go home. As soon as we grab the other kobold, we're out of here. So give us a moment. We'll do that.
Okay. That was worth a try.
Well, you gave it a valiant effort by telling me sternly to do a thing. It works on cats, I think.
No, it doesn't.
I was told it was. And I've seen it work. I looked at a cat and I said, do whatever you want. And it did whatever it wanted.
Hobby has a thing that Hobby wants to do. Hobby wants to yank out the dagger, shove the anti-nanite thing up against the hole the dagger made, and squirt.
Give me a dexterity check, because that would be the equivalent of an attack roll with a spray bottle I am not giving you ever. Proficiency in spray bottle.
I'm sad. Sad, Crash. Absolutely sad. Okay, so it's not a saving throw. It's a dex check.
Yes.
Just a dex check?
Well, yes, because you don't have a proficiency bonus. A 15 is not going to do it.
Let me look at something. It's in my inventory.
You do have 3 luck points, so you could attempt to roll again if you wanted to.
I desire to roll again. Okay. Dex roll. Come on, dex. My dex is so criffing high, but... Okay, come here, criffing dex. Roll normally. That's worse.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that was a 3 on the die for an 8. So.
Well, criff that for a lark. I'm going to leave that alone. I'm going to use my disengage. I can do that again, right? Right.
Yes, you can. It's your turn.
Disengage. And then I have, where is that? I should, it's an ability, right? Right. Okay, so first of all, it's not that one. No, never mind. Delete that one.
So while you're doing that, I want to point out, none of the combat dummies that would be able to collide with the tower because of the tracks they're on, have survived.
Survived the existence of the tower?
Yes, you wiped them all out. But if they had survived because of their luck of their placement, it'd be hilarious to, okay, it is their turn. On their turn, they smash into the tower at full speed. Feline agility and cunning action.
Let me just measure out. All right, first of all, that's not the one I want to use. Where's my measure? That's measurement control. Measurement control. I want that one. I want Ray. I may not even need to if it's short enough. Basically, I want to go from where I am, having used my bonus action to disengage, use my feline agility to double my speed if necessary, and squeeze through the A-sized hole to get into the thingy.
I will require an acrobatics check. The A silhouette is not at ground level because the tower was still growing when A created the hole.
Well, let's see if my acrobatics will be any better than anything else that I've been rolling since the dice have been hating me. Will 30 do it? Will Nat 20 do it? Will a Nat 20 do it?
So you run across the board. And you leap into the air, extending your arms forward, and glide through the A silhouette, not even touching the sides. You have to...
I had to put my ears back for it.
You had to turn as you did it, but that increased your accuracy because you were spinning like the football.
Yeah. Zoom! And I would like to be in here.
Okay.
Ideally close enough to get to A.
A is on the ground floor, and so are you.
Good.
Congratulations. You have successfully entered the box. You may now sit.
It fits. I fits. I sits.
I lay downs.
Well, this is what I'm... I have some plans for the next turn, which involve laying on hands, so... But I don't think I get to do that now, because I did an attack and I did a run.
Yes. You did a zoomie.
Uh-huh.
All right. By the way, when you did use a spray bottle, but you sprayed a spot that wasn't exposed with the stab and smite. Okay.
At least there's an exposed spot on X now.
Combat dummy one moves into position and fires at X.
Yay, firebolt.
Go, firebolt. You can do it with a 7. You don't. Combat dummy 3 moves into position. It's going to fire magic missile at Cavil. That's 5 points of force damage, unless you use the last charge of your ring.
I don't have my reaction.
Ah, that's right. So,
also, I don't think you did magic missile right.
We'll blame that on the Ogmanites. Is their testing facility.
Okay, so it's only one missile.
Yes. Also, everyone else has a cantrip, so otherwise magic missile would be overpowered. We are blaming this on the Ogmanites.
Yeah, that's fair.
That's fair.
Well, everyone has a cantrip except for the one that just has a crossbow.
Had a crossbow.
Yeah. Well,
no, that's the one.
Now the crossbow is it's not crossed anymore. Bits of it over there. Some of it's over there.
There and there.
I think some of it landed on top of Cavil. There was a bit of an explosion. Not an actual boom explosion, but bits went everywhere.
Fragments.
Yes.
Oops.
Shrapnel.
I believe the Cavil maintains whatever spells they were maintaining.
Yes. Definitely makes their save. It is A's turn. A questions life choices. How did we get to the point where a former Kobold clan leader of theirs got turned into a giant cyborg? How'd that happen? And how'd they come back looking for A? And then how did A end up inside a 20 by 20 by 30 adamantine fortress with a familiar looking window over there?
That's the hole that was made, not for A, by A.
And I say this, stalling for time, looking to see if there's anything that A would be doing right now.
Hopefully climbing.
Chugging healing potions.
Yes, I was looking through A's inventory to see if A had a healing potion. A does not. A has a potion of speed. A does not chug the potion of speed.
If it's all the same to you, I'm not going to stay in combat right now. I don't feel like I'm very useful. Actually, I'm more of a target. And it might be better if I, stay behind these very strong-looking walls.
Sounds good to me.
Go up, A, go up.
Okay. So...
Second floor.
First floor is perfumeries, stationery, and leather goods. Wigs and haberdasheries, kitchenware, and foods. Going up, do.
Arrow slits on all sides.
Elevation.
Arrow slits.
10. A stops on the second floor. Because A's not going to the roof.
As long as it makes it harder for the jurors to get to them.
Makes sense. Cavil, it is your turn.
Arrow slits, you say?
Yes.
And a battlement.
You're going to fly over to peek in through the arrow slits so you have a spell you can use on a target you can see.
Yeah. Oh, I don't even need to see. Okay. Yeah, everyone's going to be in range of this, I say, as everyone who is watching the map sees a...
A purple measuring line just fly around. It's dear listeners, what we just saw was the measuring equivalent of somebody doing around the world with a yo-yo. Mass cure wounds. You place the measure template. Oh my gosh, you could even heal the combat dummies if you wanted to, but I don't think the ones that are in play have taken damage.
Yeah, no, I don't care to do that. Would every friendly like to regain 23 hit points?
Yes.
Yes, please.
You had me at friendly and regain.
I do not want to. Okay.
would you like to maintain your concentration after taking 23 points of healing?
Oh, no. Bother.
It's not a zero signed integer, so you actually looped around and Gandhi is attacking with nuclear weapons. Wait, that's a reference.
Crash, I need to... If you type equals instead of plus, it does bad things. Now I don't remember where I was.
Minus 46 plus 23, so minus 23.
Okay, so I'm going to... No, not that.
Puppy just killed themselves.
Five. Okay, so say that again.
Minus 23 is your total.
Okay, minus 23. There. I ain't dead yet.
I don't think you did that right because you healed yourself to full and then gave yourself 23 points of damage.
Yes. Hobby had taken 46 points of damage and then got healed for 23.
Crying out loud. That actually works.
Yes.
But because the numbers were so similar, it confused me. Fine. Okay. I'm just going to leave this giant purple circle on the map because it amuses me.
And bench for making you do math?
No, that's a non sequitur. Does Magpie do anything?
I would suggest that Magpie may want to hide behind the battlements on the tower.
Yeah. Magpie is going to fly in through an arrow slit if Magpie can fit through an arrow slit.
Give me a dexterity roll for Magpie.
Oh, dear.
Magpie's dex is plus two, so...
It's one of those, the ship turns sideways to fly through the caverns.
That was not a ship. That was the dice tray not working.
Okay. Because I was going to say, how did you roll a d20 plus 2 and get a 2 as a result?
Because the d20 didn't want to roll.
That's fine.
Well, those d20s with a 0 in the place of a 20.
With a 12, I am going to say that Magpie did not get to where you have placed Magpie. Magpie is instead comedically... up against the wall, right next to the arrow slit. Wings spread.
Missed it by that much.
Yes. If it had been 1 point higher, Magpie would have turned sideways and gone through the arrow slit without pausing at all. Instead,
Magpie could land on the arrow slit.
There is perhaps a second silhouette on this specific wall, but this one doesn't go through. All right. Combat Dummy 5's turn. And there we go. I forgot to move Combat Dummy 5 last time. I'm going to say it was because somebody tried to pick Combat Dummy 5 up and they sort of got pulled off the track a little bit. So they are going to continue over to here. And if we measure...
X is closer.
X is closer?
Pretty sure.
Oh no, I'm agreeing with you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a 17, so nothing comes of it.
Peeking.
It is Zed's turn. Zed says... Okay, well, we could stay here and do 100 points of damage to a wall. That's definitely a thing we could do. But instead, I think I'm going to wait until you don't have a space where you can do this. Come on, X. We're out of here. And the two teleport away again.
We're going to have to make them not be able to teleport.
And that's where we're going to end it for tonight. Thank you, everyone, for playing. Thank you, everyone, for listening. We went long again.
Sorry.
I'm not upset. I'm apologetic. But tonight I was joined by a bunch of awesome people, including Beth, Ellie, and Io. Was anyone going to plug a thing tonight?
Io's Mom Writes Books at ElizabethMcCoy.com. And you can get your library to order them through Overdrive, or you can check them out through Hoopla. And both of those make me very happy because you get to read them for free, but I still get paid. So... hey, if you really like them, you can buy them like at, you know, Smashwords or I suppose Amazon or Nook or Kobo or other places that Draft to Digital ships them to. And speaking of cool things.
So there is a town in Pennsylvania, I believe it's called Dilburg, and there is a small used bookstore there called The Bookhouse. That's a cool thing. And if you can go there, if you like used bookstores... that's a used bookstore. That is the epitome of used bookstores. It is exactly what you expect a used bookstore to be, with things stacked to the ceiling and some of the shelves made by putting planks on top of cinder blocks and wall-to-wall books of a variety of topics and the smell as you walk in. Just, it's a good place. Anyway, that is nowhere near where I am because I am not doxing myself. I'm not even in that state right now. But with that said, I take all of our recordings and I put them over on aaronbsmith.com. You can find links to all the social media and yada yada, all that stuff there. We also have a Patreon, patreon.com/cogwheelgaming, where you can help us keep the lights on along with other illustrious patrons who probably don't mess up their words as much as I do during an outro. These would include Ellie, Shen Shen, Walter, Liv Droman, and Patron Emeritus Cindy. Until next time, this is Crash saying, wow, you really do want this cobalt, don't you? Well, they are okay, I guess, but at this point it's a matter of principle. Oh, I don't know what those are. Good night, everybody.
Good night.